Praise God. Well, just going to force you to say something today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we love the Word here this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to the book of Exodus, which you don't have to open very far, in chapter 15. Father, we love you this morning. We honor you and magnify you and bless your holy name. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness and your love. Father, this is the most important part of the service. Excuse me, this is the most important part of our week. We ask you to speak to us. We know you will, Father. Our job is just to be hungry, Father, and you'll talk to us. And you'll tell us what we need to hear. We thank you for that, Father. And Lord, I pray that I'd speak as the oracles of God. They don't need to hear from me today. They don't need to hear my opinions, my ideas, what I think's best, or my philosophies. They need to hear straight from heaven, Father. And Lord, this is a visitation from you this morning. Father, when I follow the Holy Ghost and say what you want me to say, that's a visitation from God. So we welcome that visitation this morning. We thank you. We're going from glory to glory. Thank you that we'll be better, Father, and we're going on to greater and better things and more blessed life. And we thank you and give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to be talking... I don't know how long we're going to do this for, but we're going to do a series on divine healing. I've been wanting to do this for a while, excuse me, and finally was released to do it last week. And the series is going to be called Healing Belongs to Us and How to Access It. And you're going to see in exactly what that title says, you're going to see in the Word clearly that healing belongs to the believer. It's something, as much as salvation belongs to you, healing belongs to you. But you're also going to find out how to access it. A lot of people don't know how to access it. A lot of people don't know what's hindering them or what's causing them. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. So we're going to look at that. And, you know, there's a lot of ideas and beliefs out there concerning divine healing. It's an amazing topic that you would be surprised that people that are lovers of Jesus and that are on their way to heaven and are blessed and churchgoers will absolutely fight you tooth and nail on it, that God's not interested in healing and that God's not a healer and that it's something that passed away with the disciples. And well, we need to find out if that's the case and look at what the Word says. And we need to throw away our belief system if they're wrong. We need to throw away the traditions and what religion would say and find out what does the Word say on divine healing. And I want to encourage you, like anything, one time hearing this and just coming in here for 45 minutes on a Sunday and then walking out, it's not going to get you to the place that's going to enable you to be able to walk in that divine health. Because faith cometh how? By hearing and hearing. Faith doesn't come by having heard it one time. So I encourage you to take notes. I encourage you to get on the archives and make sure you're listening to these, taking these scriptures and meditating on them and devouring these scriptures. Praise God. We need this series. We need this in the body of Christ. Number one, because sickness isn't fun. I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody that enjoys being sick. And also, we're the body of Christ. We're the hands and the feet. We're the ones that are supposed to get this job done. How sad is it going to be to go to heaven and have the Lord say, well, you got here and you brought no one with you? People have it backwards. This is the training ground. This is... People are trying to get everything they can in their own lives, and all people around them are dying and going to hell. I'm not even talking about evangelism today, but we're going that direction this morning, I guess, right now. People are so concerned with themselves and so selfish, and I'll tell you, it's a wake-up call when you get to heaven. Be a wake-up call. I'm telling you, I'm going to bring Greyhound busfuls of people with me. I can't tell you, as a pastor, sometimes people just run to you, and besides the care you have of your own church, and now another church in Olean that I pastor, but for some reason, family members and people in my past, when it hits the fan, so to speak, you know who they call all the time is me. And I'll tell you what, it's a temptation because of how busy you are to just, you know what, you're not in my church. And it's like, no, Jesus was willing to be inconvenienced. You'd have no idea, and she'd attest to it, how much I'm not home because I'm meeting with somebody that I'll never see in my church, but maybe they have a problem or this and that. Why? I understand this ain't everything. I'm not trying to fill Pastor Mike's bucket list. I'm not trying to, I don't know why I'm saying this, but it needs to be said. And it didn't get said last night, did it, Jeff?
No.
And I'm not trying to fill my own desires and my own wants and my own needs. I'm not trying to get everything I can for my own life. Listen, there's people that are truly around us dying and going to hell because you won't open your mouth, because you won't be loving, because you won't be kind, because you won't show them. We're the body of Christ, people. Jesus is not coming out of heaven to evangelize the world. We're supposed to do it. We're the ones. And so many. And I'm not saying those things. Listen, I enjoy hunting. I enjoy spending time and doing fun things with my family. But nothing comes before kingdom business. Nothing comes before, because hunting's going to pass away. I'll have eternity to spend a lot of time and relaxing and doing all that stuff. And so I just want to encourage you. Step it up. Amen. Step it up. Praise God. And again, I'm not thinking of anybody specific, or it's just following the Holy Ghost here, and it's speaking to people. And we get so carried away. As soon as I said we're the body of Christ, something took off in my spirit. We're the ones that are going to heal this world. We're the ones that are going to help people and save them from going to an eternity in hell. But as the body of Christ, we can't do very much if we're sick. On a sick bed, it's hard to be active. It's hard to be efficient. It's hard to be productive. And so we need to be healed for that reason. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's interesting. It's the second biggest issue I see that people are going through. Yeah, it's the second biggest issue besides financial problems that people struggle with is divine health. I just can't get off the whole evangelism thing. I can't get off it. I can't go away from it. I'll tell you what. Get things straight down here. I'll just say it to be truthful with you. The Bible says this: pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. God's the Lord of the harvest. That he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. Well, when you send laborers into a grape vineyard, or you send laborers into whatever kind of vineyard, it's to pick that fruit, to pick that harvest. If the laborers aren't there to pick the harvest, guess what the harvest happens? The harvest falls to the ground and dies and doesn't get picked. And the Lord said, he said, therefore pray that I can send forth laborers. He said, there won't be a harvest of people going to heaven unless people do the job. Yeah. We're all laborers, praise God. And we need to step it up. We need to let go of our bitterness and our resentment and our. We just need to say, listen, I'm here for a short time and I need to make a difference in people's lives. It ain't all about me. Yeah. I tell you, it'll be sad. And this is what I was saying with the harvest thing. You may be the only Jesus somebody ever encounters, but God had you go in their path. And you didn't do it. I know there was one gentleman that lived by her parents' house. And I'll tell this just to get us to sober up a little bit about this stuff. And, you know, you can tell sometimes, and this ain't always the time, there's a lot of Christians that have bad mouths, but I knew by the witness of the Holy Ghost that this guy was not saved. And I had told him that, you know, we'd start a church. This was back when we were getting ready to start this church, and just kind of putting the bait in the water to see. And man, you could tell he was not interested at all. And I kept putting it off, and the reason I didn't go talk to him, laziness, worried about what he would think, neighbors with her parents, just didn't want to offend them. As if the flames of hell won't offend them. As if the weeping and the gnashing of teeth won't offend them. As if where the worm dies not won't offend them. As where the rich man went to hell, and he said, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and just put one drop on my tongue. Yeah. The gentleman that went preached at Pastor Tim's church, that had the experience for 23 minutes in hell, he said when he went to Niagara Falls, all he could do was stare at the water. He couldn't take his eyes off the water because he went to hell and knows. And now he collects bottles of water from everywhere he goes. And stacks them up because he knows the people in hell are just one drop. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. And I didn't go talk to this guy because of so many things. And he died. And I knew I was the only Jesus that was going to come in his life. And I missed it. And that man is in hell today because I didn't step up and say something. There's a lot of those people in our lives. I know I'm sober, right? We're supposed to talk about healing. Well, how about the healing of the world? The healing of the world from hell. If I don't tell you, who's going to tell you? The world's not trying to convince you to get them saved, to bring them into church. Listen, my job is not to grow this church. Sheep produce sheep. You know, inviting people, ministering with those books, telling people, being good to people, getting off our own agendas and getting on his agenda. Amen? Well, I'm going to try to bring this back around. Hallelujah. But we're the body of Christ, and we need to be healthy. We need to be healthy so we can go out and do things for the kingdom of God and be a blessing to him. Hallelujah. Now, if the Lord spoke to you about that little rant we just had, just change. Be a doer of the word. Step it up. Step it up. Praise God. We all need to step it up. But with healing and this service that we're going to be talking about, and this series, Healing Belongs to Us and How to Access It, we need a starting line. We need a starting place of where we're going to launch from. And I have this witness in my heart that it is vital if you're going to walk in divine health. You have to absolutely be 100% assured of what your Father's take is on the subject. Because He's the only reason we can access any of the blessings from God or from the Bible. And if He's not on board, how can we expect to be on board? And what I mean by that is, you know, I'm the God of my children. What do I mean? God is God. I'm not saying that. But I mean, I'm the one that tells them yes. I'm the one that tells them no. They have to get things approved by me. This past week, we took Caleb and Abby to Midway. And they have that big slide there. Now all he wants to do is climb up those stairs and go down the slide. He got in the bumper boats. Like the first 2 seconds in, he was about ready to jump out. He just wanted to go back on the side. I said, no, this isn't swimming time, buddy. Stay in the boat till the ride's over. And so he was excited. He loved it. And, you know, one of us is going to take him back without Abby because with her nap and sleep schedule, just be give him a little more time. And there's not a whole lot she can do there yet. And he's excited about it. And he wants to go back. And he every day said, we're going tomorrow, right? No, we're not. But we will. And it'd be like this if Caleb came up to me and said, and Daddy never said anything, and he came up and was telling everybody in this church today, I'm going to Midway tomorrow. I'm going to Midway tomorrow. He can't have any confidence in that. He can't have any foundation to believe that's going to happen. Why? Daddy's not on board. Now, when Daddy says, buddy, I'm taking you there on Monday, he can have all the confidence in the world. Same with divine healing. When sickness comes and tries to come on your doorstep and rob your peace and your joy and your health, you can't launch out with true biblical faith. Because you understand what faith is? Faith has not a shadow of a doubt in it. Faith will look hell in the face and say, it's going to be okay. Faith will take the most worst financial situation and say, I'm blessed, I'm coming out of this. The worst sickness, say, I'm cured. And not even a shadow of a doubt. Like there's like I said with the water bottle, it's like if I told you, do y'all believe if I drop this, it's going to hit the ground? Every single one of you say, I know it's going to hit the ground. That's what faith is. Faith knows it's going to come to pass what God says. You can't have that kind of faith if in the back of your mind you're thinking, I don't even know if God wants me to be healed. Is God for healing? Did God cause this? Is God indifferent towards my healing? Is this something we shouldn't major on? Did healing pass away with the 12? And if you have any of those little things, the devil will work on that and cause you to not be in biblical faith. And true Bible faith is how you receive. True Bible faith is how you receive. And true Bible faith has no doubts in it. Has no question. True Bible faith isn't hope. True Bible faith isn't wishing. True Bible faith is, I know I got it, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it looks like, no matter what they're saying, I got it. And you'll never be able to have that. See, when Caleb says, I'm going to Midway Monday, he's hoping Daddy's taking him there. He don't know that for sure. Daddy never said anything about that. Same with God, praise God. So we need to know, hallelujah, we need to know what he says. And because why? Because we want what he wants for us. We can have what he says we can have. We can't expect to have anything outside his will or outside the word. And you shouldn't want anything outside his will and outside his word. And, you know, if the Lord wants me to be sick, I'll sign up for it. Why? Because I love him that much. If he wants me to be poor, then strip me down to poverty, and I'll take that because I want what he wants for me. But if he wants healing for me, I want healing for me. If he wants prosperity and blessing for me, then I want it too. And so today we're going to look at what is God's take on divine healing. Is God nonchalant towards it? Is God, well, you know, or if God the causer of it? Is God, I guess you could say just the word indifferent comes to mind. We're going to find out what God's take is on it. So you can once and for all be assured that you know your daddy and what his take is on divine healing. So when sickness tries to come against you, come against your kids, you'll know what to do. Praise God. Amen. Number one, on God's take on divine healing is Exodus 15 and verse 26. Exodus 15 and verse 26. God's take on divine healing. In this verse, God makes a declaration to mankind concerning his take on divine healing. And it's important to remember this. You say, well, that was back in the book of Exodus, but thank God we know that the Bible says he changeth not. That he's the same yesterday when Exodus was written. He's the same today right now, and he'll be the same 1,000 years from now. He never changes. He's so awesome. In Exodus 15, 26, he makes a declaration. He says, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Now you might say, well, I didn't know God made the Egyptians sick. He didn't. I'll explain that in a second. It's explainable by the Bible, thank God. He said, I'll put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Now notice this. This is the declaration. He says, for I am. And when he says, I am, now he's going to go on and describe a characteristic of himself. And he'd be like Pastor Mike saying, I am 35. I am 5'5" if I'm lucky. I am the pastor with the gray hair. I am the father of two children. That would be, you know, what that'd be a declaration, wouldn't it? Well, God's declaring something about himself. He says to the world and in turn, he says, I am. Now remember, he doesn't change. So he am right now. He still am. Praise God. I am the Lord that healeth you. I am the Lord that healeth you. Praise God. Now that, here's what you have to understand about when he says, I am the Lord that heals you. There's seven redemptive names in the Old Testament that describe the characteristics of God. And that's exactly what the redemptive names are. They describe who God is. One of those is Jehovah Rapha. When he says, I am the Lord, that's Jehovah. Jehovah, I am the Lord your God. That healeth you, that word healeth in the Hebrew is the word Rapha. So in the Hebrew, he's saying, I am Jehovah Rapha, or the Lord God that heals you. That word healeth in the Hebrew, listen to what that word means, because we're not talking about a spiritual healing. He says, that word in Rapha is to mend, to cure, a physician, to repair, or to thoroughly make whole. The Lord is saying, I am the Lord your God, the mender, the cure, the physician, the repairer, the one that thoroughly makes you whole. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that's your Father's take on divine healing. I'm the one that heals you. I'm the one that mends you. I'm the one that cures you. A physician, I repair you. I make you whole. Glory to God. That's what the Lord says here in this verse. Now, the Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses let every word be established. So I'm not going to just, well, that's the only verse. No, it's all over the Bible. I'm only going to give you like three today, maybe four of God's take on it. Exodus 23, 25. You can flip or just hold on and we'll pull it up for you to make it quicker. Exodus 23, 25. So that verse says, I'm the Lord that heals you. See, yeah, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses let every word be established and we're going to give you those. But all you need is one. I don't need 10,000 verses after that. God said, I'm the Lord that heals you. I believe him. I don't need to see it over and over again, but I'm going to show it to you anyways. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. And I, the Lord God, will take sickness away from you. Wait a second. And I'm going to get back to that, giving diseases to the Egyptians. He's the sickness taker away? Wait a minute, I thought he was the sickness giver. To teach us a lesson and to make us go through things. No, he said, I'll take it away from you. Praise God. Psalms 103 and verse 1. I hope you get these in your heart. The last thing you need when hell shows up in your front door in the form of a sickness or disease is to have to question in your mind, does God care about this? Is God for me? No. You need to get on that thing in faith. You can't be in faith. See, when something shows up on our front doorstep, man, we attack that thing like there's no tomorrow. You know, I'm a hunter, and you put posted signs up, you know, and, you know, there's like every certain tree you put them on, and it's just bright yellow, you know, and it's very easy to see. And nothing makes me madder and causes me to have to use my love walk than people trespassing on posted property and then acting stupid about it when you catch them. Oh, I didn't see them. Oh, really? The 1,000 signs that look like a yellow line going across the property that you walked on, you didn't see that? Even if it wasn't posted, I say, what are you doing here? Right. Don't care if it's posted or not. Why are you here? You don't own this. You don't. But it causes me to use my love walk more than anything when people are. But what I do is I deal with that immediately when people are trespassing. See, we've taken time to get into the Word. When sickness or disease comes on me, I'm not sitting there wondering at the time, What does God think about this? Can I even have faith for this? Is he on board with this? No. It's trespassing. We take care of the problem immediately. That's what today's trying to help you do. to get you settled in your mind. Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now, I'm not an English major, but I know when you put S on the end of benefit, it means there's more than one. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Your pastor's smart this morning. Forget not all His benefits. Well, what are some of His benefits? Verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities. Aren't you glad? I always stop on that because so many people struggle with condemnation. Get over it. God's not holding it. Listen, yesterday doesn't even exist. In the mind of God, I remember listening to a Brother Hagin service back in 1987. I was listening to it by tape. It was when Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits came out in that conference where Lord visited him, and he... We'll have that book sometime for the book of the month. And he went in and he just was preaching. All of a sudden he went into a prophecy while he was preaching. And in that thing he said from the Lord that yesterday doesn't exist. And that lines up with the Bible. God said, I'll forget. Press on. Go forward. Yesterday doesn't exist anymore. 2 years ago doesn't exist anymore. Stop holding yourself to the gun to yourself or your past. The gun of your past, right? God's not holding against you. The only one that is the devil. Stop letting him. He said, I'll forgive all your iniquities. There's nothing you could have done that could escape the forgiveness and the mercy of God. But He also healeth. That same word healeth is the same word rapha in the Hebrew. Healeth how many of your diseases? All your diseases. That means there ain't nothing that a doctor, a medical people, scientist can put a name on. And I don't care what comes from that thing. That God can't heal. Because He said, I'll heal all your diseases. Praise God. 3 John verse 2. There's only one chapter in 3 John. That's why I didn't give you a chapter. 3 John verse 2. I love this verse. Beloved. Now this is such a heavy statement. I wish above all things. That's one of those asterisk type statements. That's one of those where the teacher says, now pay attention, this is going to be on the test. When God says, I wish above all things, that causes me to perk up a little bit. It causes me to turn my ear and, whoa, well, this must be important. He's putting emphasis on what He's wishing above all things. That thou mayest prosper and, everybody say and, be in health. Now, this is coming from our Father, written already to people who are born again. Me personally, I can't think of two better things that I want for my children once they receive salvation. There's nothing more that I'd want for my kids than to be healthy and blessed. I don't know what your wish is for your kids, but if my kids are walking in divine health and walking in prosperity after they're already born again and heaven bound, there's nothing more I'd wish above. God's just a good Father like we would be. A good parent like we would be. There's nothing more I'd want for Caleb and Abby once they get born again than to walk in health and walk in prosperity. And He says, I want you. I wish above all things that you'd prosper and that you'd be in health. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Physical well-being in your body. So I guess God's not indifferent towards it. I guess it's not a small thing with God. I guess it's a big thing where He says, I wish it above everything else that my children would walk in health. Don't let the devil tell you, oh, it's just some minor thing and God's not interested. No, He wishes above all things. Wishes above all things. Hallelujah. Now go back with me to Exodus 15:26. I need to explain something to everybody. It'll help you. Praise God. Exodus 15:26. Now remember it said here in... It said, if you'll diligently hearken to the voice of your Lord your God, we'll do that which is right in His sight. We'll give ear to His commandments. And keep all these statutes. Now, this next verse is alarming with what we know about God. It says, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Now, if you read that and take that at face value, you would take that and say, the Bible says that God made the Egyptians sick with disease. If that's the case, that we need to throw away the whole New Testament because the New Testament and the Old Testament completely contradict one another. And they can't contradict one another if this whole thing is true because God never changes. He's the same God before Jesus died. He's the same God after Jesus died. So there's got to be more to it. Well, you never build a doctrine off one scripture. Now I'm going to get into the hermeneutics, Bible hermeneutics and Bible interpretation here this morning. A couple things you never do. You never build a doctrine off one verse. That's how cults get started. That's how cults get started. Number two, you never interpret the New Testament with the Old Testament. You always interpret the Old Testament by the New Testament. The Old Testament was written in types and shadows. They didn't have a full revelation. These were men and women who did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of them. They didn't know like we know. They weren't in the seeing like we were in the seeing. But when Jesus came and died on the cross and the Holy Ghost came on the inside of us, all that veil had been torn off. And the New Testament explains a lot in the Old Testament. Well, the New Testament clearly shows us, and I'll get to these verses, that God never gives people sickness. Well, Pastor, the Bible says, this is why you need a pastor, this is why you need to study to show yourself approved. A workman that, because you could read that and say, man, I'm surprised that God gives sickness, but yet it doesn't even make sense in this verse. He says, I'll give you none of the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians, from the Lord that heals. Either he's the Lord that heals or the Lord that gives sickness. He's not both. He's not up and down God. Well, here's how I'm going to explain it now. The Old Testament in Hebrew verbs, now again, you have to get talking to some Hebrew scholars, and this is the truth. You can look this stuff up. The verbs are translated in two types of tenses. There's a causative tense and a permissive tense. When they translated this from the manuscripts, now even the Old Testament, other places would totally contradict the scripture. Well, let me not get ahead of myself. But anyways, there's a permissive and a causative. When the translators looked at the manuscripts, instead of taking and translating it in the permissive sense, which I'm going to explain that in a second, they translated it in the causative sense in the Hebrew, making it look like God is the cause for the sickness, when it should read, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have allowed the Egyptians to have. God is only responsible for sickness and disease in so much as He created the laws of sowing and reaping. That's the only way that God is responsible for disease, is that He created the laws of sowing and reaping. Remember when He said to the children of Israel, He said, this day I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. And He says this, choose life. Amen. When people, in Psalm 91 we see this, He said, if you'll dwell under the shadow of the Most High, you'll be protected, you'll be healthy, you'll be blessed. But when you step out of that, or when even back then, we can see in this verse that healing was conditional on obeying God. Yeah. He's saying, when you stay under my covering, I can protect you. Yeah. I can keep you safe. But if you go out from underneath my covering, you're getting into the devil's territory, and I don't have, then my authority's gone. God's authority is gone when you get on the devil's territory. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Remember, you have to go back to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, right? Remember what God did. God said, I've given you authority. I've given you dominion. I've given you the power. You know, if I gave Vinny my truck and I gave him the title and said, it's yours, signed it over to him, and he went and mudded with it and banged it around and, you know, windows smashed out and just scratches all over, and somebody came to me and said, Pastor Mike, did you see what Vinny did with your truck? I'd say, I can't control that anymore. It's not my truck. It's his. God gave Adam and Eve from the beginning. People wonder why the world's in a mess. It ain't God. God gave Adam and Eve control of planet Earth, and they messed it up. And when they did, can you go to Romans 5 and verse 12, Heather? I want to show people this, and I'm going to go to some scriptures that prove this point here. When Adam and Eve messed it up, something happened in the earth. Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. Yes. Now notice this. And what happened when sin entered the world? Death by sin. Yes. God's intention for mankind was to never die. God's intention for mankind was to live for forever. No sickness, no disease. All they had to do when that snake came by and tempted them was to stomp on his head and say, no way, we're obeying God. And they'd have walked in his blessings. They chose to step out from underneath the covering of God, giving their authority to the devil. And when they did that, we know this, the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Death entered into the world by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You look in the Bible, things started happening out of whack after that. Thorns and thistles started coming up. People started murdering one another. Lifespans started getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Why? Sin started catching up. Now, don't misunderstand this next statement. Don't run out of here and say, Pastor Mike said I'm sick because I'm sinning. Now, that might be the case, but it's not the case all the time.
That's right.
But all sickness, the root of all sickness is sin. Because sickness started when sin entered in.
That's right.
Sickness is a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. It manifests in the physical realm. It's dealt with in the spiritual realm, which is what we're going to get into this series. People think sickness is physical. No, it's not. It's root. The root of sickness entering into this world was a sin. Sin is a spiritual thing. Sin brought sickness into the world. So we know by reading that God, if sickness is a result of sin in the beginning, we know God can have nothing to do with sin because God is the exact opposite of the devil. Jesus said, I have come to bring you life more abundantly, and he's the thief. He steals, kills, and destroys. He says, I'm making a distinction. I'm drawing a line in the sand. He's on one side, I'm on the other. God is not evil. God can't partner with the devil. God can't take part in what the devil's doing. God's a good God. Now, I know that verse in Exodus makes it look like it, but that's what you have to study, and you have to look at other verses. See, you got to remember, too, with the Old Testament, these people weren't even filled with the Holy Ghost, and they wrote some things down that, thank God, we have the original manuscripts and the original Hebrew and the original Greek on things where we can study and find out what should have been said. Yeah. And that translates. You got to remember, men and women translated this thing.
Right. Yeah.
And you got to go back sometimes to the original language. I don't do that all the time because you can get lost in all that stuff. But there's certain things it's key to do that on.
Sure.
Certain things there's key to do that on. But God never causes sickness. Right. If he did, he'd be partnering with the devil.
Right.
Go to Acts 10:38 real quick. Acts 10:38. Now remember, I didn't say if you're going through a sickness, it's because you sin. That could be the case, but it's not the case all the time. Remember, the exact reference slips my mind, but Jesus looked at the person, said, they were questioning, did this person sin? Did the parents sin? Jesus said, nobody sinned. He's not sick because anybody sinned. Now there's cases where that can happen, but it's not always the case. There's lots of reasons. We'll get it in one of the messages we're going to have is causes. There's causes. The Bible says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly and sleep among you or die. There's always a cause. Always a cause to sickness. And always, every time people's minds quickly jump to being in sin, no. There's attacks. There's ignorance. There's not being smart and being wise. There's lack of faith. There's a whole lot of reasons why people, but there's always a cause. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing how many? All that were what? Oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. So God gives the credit to sickness to who here? The devil. The devil. Go with me to Luke 13 and verse 16. Because if you're thinking, well, God gave the Egyptians diseases, maybe he wants to give me. No, he did not. The Egyptians didn't obey him. He couldn't bless them. They were outside of his covenant, outside of his covering. But Pastor Mike, Job said the Lord gave and the Lord take away. Well, hold that thought.
Yeah.
Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, now notice this, whom Satan, everybody say Satan,
Satan
has bound, lo, these 18 years. What was she bound with 18 years? Well, if you read the verses before, a spirit of infirmity, sick for 18 years in her body. Shouldn't she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? The Lord here now is giving credit again to Satan being the one giving sickness.
Yeah.
God does not partner with the devil, but the Lord said, but Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Well, if you know anything about Job, he got, his body got attacked, didn't it?
Yeah.
His life got attacked. And Job did say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But just because Job said it didn't make it true. Just because Job uttered it doesn't mean it's gospel. What he said is gospel, doesn't make it. But what he said doesn't make it true. His heart was right, but his doctrine was way off. If you study that story, you see the devil came in to steal from Job. And the devil even says, but Lord, you've put a hedge around Job. God's the hedge builder. God's the protector. God's not your problem, people. Your pastor's not your problem, people. The devil is your problem. The devil's your problem. And he said, Lord, I can't get to Job. You've put a hedge around him. Well, do you think God went out with his hedge clippers, plugged them in, and knocked those down so Satan could get in? No. Why would God build a hedge for his people just so he could tear it down? I mean, it's like, Caleb, I'm going to do something good for you just to rip it away from you. I'm going to give you a present, then rip it away from you. That's cruel.
Right. Right.
The Bible tells us why the hedge got torn down for Job. Fear. Every day Job went and made sacrifices for his children, just out of the pure fear that they might be doing something wrong. And what does the Bible say? The thing that Job feared the most came upon him. Fear started clipping those hedges down, and the devil found his way in. Why? Fear's no faith. When there's no faith, the devil can come right in. It wasn't God. God was the hedge builder. Amen. God doesn't give and take away. You know what he gives and takes away? He gives blessing and takes away sickness. We already saw that. I'll take sickness away from you. So you're right. The Lord does give and the Lord takes away. He gives good and takes bad away. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we see clearly in those verses, Satan's the one that gives the sickness. God's the one that's the healer, wishing above all things, taking sickness away from you, not forgetting all his benefits. And the second point, and then we're going to close it down here, of God's take on divine healing is the Jesus rule when it comes to healing. What's God's take? Well, the Jesus rule. What does the Jesus rule state? John chapter 5 and verse 19. I'm just going to go there quick and read, so write it down or look on the screen. John chapter 5 and verse 19. You want to know who your heavenly Father is? Look at Jesus. Oh, that got a big response. That was good, Pastor Mike. Praise the Lord. You're doing great today. Awesome. Thanks for sharing the word with us. Hallelujah. That's my sarcastic humor coming out right in front of your eyes. Hallelujah. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever things he does, these also do the Son likewise. What does this have to do with healing? Jesus just got done saying, I only can do what I see Daddy doing. He makes a statement, I'm bound to doing what I see my Father doing. Verse 30, he says, I can of my own self do nothing. As that means whatever Jesus did, it wasn't on his own accord. It's important to know that, because when you know what he did, it enlightens you on something. He says, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father. So Jesus says, whatever I'm doing on earth is the will of my Daddy. Whatever I'm doing on earth is because I'm looking in heaven and seeing him doing it. Praise God. Well, you say, well, what does that mean? Well, let's find out what good old buddy Jesus was up to. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. Glory to God. Matthew 8 and verse 1. What was Jesus up to on the earth? Let's find out. When he came down from the mountain, Matthew 8, 1, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper or sick person, worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will or if you're willing, you can make me clean. See, this is where Christians struggle. Sure. This is where Christians struggle with divine healing. You could ask almost anybody that doesn't even believe in divine healing, do you believe God can do it? And everybody would say, oh, I believe God can do anything he wants. Right. I believe God can do that. Right? I mean, wouldn't that be a true statement? But where people struggle is in believing that God's willing and God wants to do that for them. If you just have the can down, you're not going to get it. You need to have, he can do it and he wants to do it for me. That's why when I'm joking around about saying I'm number one on God's list, it's because I have such a high expectation of what he's going to do for me. Because I know that matters to him. Yeah. He needs to know that I know that he wants to bless me. That's right. I need to make him know that I know that he wants to bless me. Praise right. God. Yeah. So anyways, came a leper. He says, if you're willing, Lord, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, now remember, he can't reach forth, touch him. He can't say anything unless, if he said anything against his Father, he'd be in violation and Jesus would have sinned. But we know he was bound. So what does he say? I will. I'm willing. He can't say I'm willing to the sick person if at first he doesn't look up into heaven and the Father says, of course, I will. We go down to verse 5. And when he entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies home sick of the palsy, another sick person, grievous torment. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Why? Because Daddy's will was yes. Yes. If you want to know who your God is and what your God's take is on divine healing, look at what Jesus was up to in the Gospels. If God causes sickness, okay, or if God's okay with sickness, then we'll have to see Jesus causing sickness and we'll have to see Jesus being okay with sickness. And he wasn't. Everywhere he went, he took care of that thing. He needs people's cooperation at times, but his will always was to heal. His will all, let me tell you something right now, I'm going to say this. If you're seeking other methods to be healing, you're getting second best. Now, I don't mean going to, like, you're getting I don't mean medication. I mean some other ways of trying to get God is the healer. God is the healer. Not some magic potions and some magic formulas. God is the healer. Remember last week we touched on, I need to say this again. We talked about when Paul, I don't know why, I just need to obey God right now. So just bear with me. Your lunch away. Remember last week we talked about how Paul cast the spirit out of the soothsayer, out of the woman that was telling people's fortunes. And I said, be careful. Be careful dabbling in that stuff. That ain't God. I don't care if someone can take a card, read your palm, and tell you what's going to happen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make it right. Those things don't point to Jesus. And Paul cast the devil out of a person that was doing that. He said, well, they know the future. Listen, there's no such thing as godly people talking to the dead. It's just not true. I'm not saying that people don't have a spirit on them. I'm not saying that people don't have a spirit on and the devil gives them stuff. I'm not. Those things are absolutely real. Those things absolutely happen, but it's not God. It's John Edwards talking to people on the other side. It's not God. It's not God. It leads people astray. It gives people all these false hopes, and it puts their focus and their minds off Jesus. I don't need a fortune teller. I got one on the inside of me. Right in my heart. Right in my heart. And the devil has some magic tricks up his sleeve that can make poof and make things look. And people get so wild and woo-hoo. Someone told, the dead person told me what I was wearing the day we, how would they know that? The devil told them. It ain't God. Listen, I'm here to tell you, when people die, they go up or down. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, if you don't want to be a follower of the Bible, you do whatever you want to do. But I'm telling you what, my job is to preach the Word of God. Not what's popular, not opinions. When people die, they go up or they go down. Instantly. They don't stick around. They don't haunt houses. Now, I'm not saying the devil doesn't manifest certain ways, but it ain't the people. They're either up in heaven or they're down in hell. It's just the truth. I know, sobering, right? But I'm not here to just tickle your ears. I'm here to keep you safe from these things. And the devil has magic tricks and wows people and gets people all excited about things. If it don't point to Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God and that he's the only way to heaven, it's not for you. Yeah. Well, we'll see if half the church come back next week. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just try to keep you safe. Magic formulas, magic potions, magic this. No, God's the healer. God's the healer. Hallelujah. Yep. Hallelujah. You want to know what God about healing, and look at Jesus. Everywhere he went, he was a healer. Everywhere he went, he was a healer. He was good, praise God. He was so wonderful. And you know, people struggle with God's willingness to heal. That's bondage from the enemy. And the Lord gave me two areas where people struggle in God's willingness to heal. And I'm going to show you why people struggle with God's willingness to heal. The number one reason God told me is because they've blown that sickness up so big and have made God, deflated God and made God so small. Last night, I think she's like 7 or 8, I absolutely befuddled this young girl, and it made her mom laugh out loud in service. Yeah. You ever seen those big, humongous inflatable gorillas that they put at car dealerships? Yeah. Now, I don't know, does that really make people buy cars? Like, did Rico really drive by and see the gorilla and think, you know what? I mean, it must, right? Because they put those flappy things that are waving around and everything, and right? But I said about the big gorilla. That's what people do with their sickness. They inflate their sickness up to be this big, huge gorilla. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not belittling the pain that you're going through, the suffering, maybe the financial problems that come with that. I'm not belittling that and saying those things aren't real. But I'm saying that God's bigger than all that stuff. And people have blown it up. How do people blow it up? They replay the doctor's reports over and over. They get on Google and start Googling things. They're talking with other people. They're finding out what happened with other people in their sickness. They're trying to get all the opinions from everybody but God. And remember, the children of Israel did that and got in trouble. God said, this land is yours. I don't care what you see, what's there. And what'd they do? They went by what they saw. And Joshua and Caleb said, that's really happening. That's true. But we can overcome this because God said, see, I'm not belittling what you're going through, but it can never trump the Word of God. God's Word trumps your feelings. God's Word trumps your finances. God's Word trumps the doctor's reports. God's Word trumps Wikipedia. and Google and all these things that we're trying to figure out. And the Lord showed me people, they lay their bed at night and replay what the doctor said, replay what the scan they saw, replay what Google said, replay what so-and-so went through, how it turned out for them, replaying it constantly. And you know what happened? You're building your faith in that sickness. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing. That's how faith enters in. You can have faith for good things and you can have faith for wrong things. And people are just constantly, and the Lord said if people would take the time and effort that of what they do towards that sickness and reverse that, and put the time and effort of what the Word says, laying in bed at night and say, my God's a healer. He wishes above all things. He heals all my diseases. Start talking the Word. Get your face out of the computer. Get your face in the Word. Get your ear off the phone. Get your ear in some healing CDs. You watch things start to change. If you'll put as much effort as you do replaying this sickness and blowing this thing up to be one of those huge inflatable gorillas and making your God so small, deflate that thing and start pumping God up. Yeah. God's bigger than anything you're facing. Second reason in people's willingness to be healed, God's willingness to be healed, is that people are so complacent when it comes to healing. What do I mean by that? They'll accept less than the best. What do I mean by that? Well, let me tell you a funny story. Brother Hagin had a word of the Spirit, a word of the Lord came to him about someone in one of his services that had a major hearing loss. A woman stood up all excited. You know, God called that out. She came up front. She told Brother Hagin the percentage of hearing loss that she had. And it was a lot. Well, he ministered to her. Complete restoration in her ears. I mean, she's excited and just, I can hear again. Wow, everything's wonderful. And so she's up here, gets ministered, and she starts going like this back. Brother Hagin knows. He says, sister, what's going on with the limp? She says, oh, I got a bad hip. He said, well, come on up. Let's get that taken care of. She said, no, I can live with that. Sure. Now, wouldn't you think after your hearing gets supernaturally restored that you would think, I think God can handle the hip too? Yeah. What do I mean about people being complacent with this stuff? People are afraid because they don't know to go full bore with God. You'll take less than the best. You'll reason it in your mind and say, Lord, you know what? I don't even need the divine healing. If you could just take away the pain maybe a few days a week, or if you could just relieve the pain a little bit. Why? Because we're afraid to believe for the best. And I'll tell you an example. I'll tell on myself. And it was a financial example. You can interchange a lot of this stuff. That truck out there, I know there's lots of better trucks. There's trucks with lower miles, trucks with more bells and whistles. But I can stand here before you today and tell you, with the pureness of heart, if somebody said to me, Pastor Mike, you can pick any vehicle in the world to switch out. Now, you can't sell the vehicle you get. You have to drive it. You have to switch it out. There's no vehicle I take over that truck. It is my joy's full. It's my dream. I wanted a 4x4 with a short bed with four doors in it. And I'll tell you what happened. I started, back when my faith wasn't developed for that, I started looking at the prices. Oh, wow. You get a truck with 4x4, it goes up quite a bit. Oh, four doors even goes higher. Oh, low mileage, man. And you know what I started doing? I'm afraid to believe God, as if a brand new truck is hard for God. It's a piece of metal on four rubber things. That's all it is. As if that's hard for your God. And I started saying, well, Lord, I'll take the one with the 100,000 miles. Sure drops the price. Or, you know, Lord, I'll take the two back seater one, but just with the two doors. My desire in my heart was the four door with the lower miles to enjoy, to be a blessing and do things with. But when I wasn't receiving the truck, it's because I was like, well, Lord, you know, I guess it'd be okay if it just, I'd drive by car lots. And I'd see the new ones, and my heart would want one of the new ones. But my mind was like, what are you thinking? You better go right down to the used one. And what do you mean, 40,000 miles? You better look at one with 80. You better look at one with 100 and whatever thousand miles. As if it's hard for our God. You see what I mean? I remember one person telling me about the debt they had from their school loans. And they went on and on, inflating that thing. That debt. But Pastor, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. I just stood there. I said, you think God's scared about the amount? He's God, people. And the doctors tell us, they use that word that just puts fear in us, and they're right in saying it, they're true. In natural sense, incurable. You'll never be okay from that. And we take that as gospel. Well, that's the word right there. They ain't God. That's exactly when God can show up, when there's no medical help for it anymore. And there are things that medicine cannot do. And there are things that doctors cannot do and scientists have not been able to figure out, but there's nothing that your God can't do. And we are so complacent, we're so afraid to believe Him. We're so afraid to just go after what we want. We are so afraid to go after what God's put in our hearts. God showed us the house we were going to get, and the price was way more, and it had land, and we started to get in our head and think, we don't have the money, how can we do this? Somebody else lives here, and we said, well, we'll start taking less. Why? Because we were afraid to dive in, but we just dove in. We're divers inners. I don't know if that's even a good word, but that's what we are. Last scripture, Romans 8:32. Being willing to settle for less than the best. Well, because as if your incurable thing, and I'm not speaking down about what you're going through. I have compassion for people. That's why I'm preaching this stuff. But as if God is concerned that it's incurable. He's the one that made the human body. He knows how to tweak things and put things there and take things out. Just don't ever forget He's God. Amen. Romans 8:32, we'll close with this. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? I like to read it this way. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Because He did that, why do you not think He would give you all things? These same people that will fight me tooth and nail on divine healing, the same people that will tell me over and over again, it's not for today, it's passed away, God's not interested in it, are the same people that are going to heaven just as much as I am as you are. They love Jesus. They're wonderful people. They're sweet people. They're just as much a Christian as I am. But they will sit there, and they won't deny the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross and saved us from eternal damnation. Now let's do a comparison here. You tell me what's more valuable. I'm just going to put it out there. On one hand, we have being saved from a fiery pit where the pain will never let up, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where you can't get one drop of water, where the flames are so hot, where it's constant torment for eternity and never lets up. Or you can be well for maybe 100 years on this life if you live that long, which is rare. What's the better gift? Being well for 100 years or not having to go to hell? What's the better gift? Not having to go to hell is the better of the two gifts. Because even as a Christian, if you're sick every single day, I mean tormenting sickness, until the day you die, at least when you die, that all goes away. When you go to hell, it never goes away. It never stops. It never lets up. It's relentless. But this is what I'm trying to understand. These people that are against divine healing, they don't have any problem believing in the Jesus thing, but the divine healing, as if the healing is some bigger and harder gift than salvation. No, we have it backwards. He already did the greatest thing, gave you the most awesome thing. The only example I could think of is if Caleb plays baseball. And if he does, man, I'll tell you, that's the sport I played. I'm going to get him the best bat, I'm going to give him the best glove, I'm going to give him the best spikes. Why? You have good equipment, you'll play better. It's just true, you know. And I want to get him good stuff. Yeah. Sue me. But it's like if I spend all that money on a bat, all that money on shoes, all that money on a glove, and his uniform and everything. And he comes to me and says, Dad, the socks that you got me, they're a little bit different color than our uniform. Can you go down and get me a $5 pair of socks? No way. No way, son. I mean, I already spent hundreds of dollars on this. There's no way. I already showed him. I'm willing to help you here and bless you. Salvation trumps healing. Now, the price was the same. The price that was paid for both are the same. Jesus had to die for both of those. But the consequences of each are not equal. Being healed doesn't even come close to not having to burn in hell for eternity. Well, thank God we can have both. But what I'm saying is that verse should cause us to wake up and say, you know what? Wow, He sent me Jesus. Why in the heck would He withhold my healing from me? He already showed me He gave me the best. Amen? So I encourage you to be here when you can. Listen to those services on archives. If you can't be here, we're going to walk in divine health in this church. Amen? And like I said, people that get divine healing and stick with divine healing, they're not casual about it. And that's going to be one of the causes that come up. People are so darn casual about this stuff. You look at the people, they were in the Bible, they were bulldogs for this stuff, man. They went after it. Like, I'm going to be healed. I don't care what stops me. I don't care what symptoms I have. I'm going to get this, and I'm not letting up till I get it. That's the kind of people that walk into what God has. Father, we love you today. Thank you for people being patient this morning. Went a little bit longer, but Father, it was good anyways. A couple rabbit trails in there, Lord. We just want to follow the Holy Ghost, Father. Whatever you say, we want to say. Whatever you want done, we want done here, Father. And we just love you and magnify you. We bless your holy name today. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness and for your love and your kindness and your compassion. Father, we just worship you this morning. Thank you for Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. There's people listening by live stream or listening on archives. And I don't know everybody personally in here. But everybody that can hear my voice, ask yourself, if I died today, where would I go? If your answer isn't 100% heaven, that's a sign that you need Jesus, because you can be. You can be saved. The Bible says if you call upon the name of the Lord, you're saved. The Bible says that it's a free gift. You don't have to jump through religious hoops. You just accept what he's given you. So if you're here today, you can say, man, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. It's a free gift. You don't have to join the church. You don't have to give money. It's a free gift. So if you want to receive Jesus here this morning, we're not going to embarrass you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you're not sure of your eternal destination, would you just raise your hand if you want to receive Jesus this morning? Anybody in here at all in this service? Father, I don't see any hands in here, but if by chance somebody's shy or if by chance somebody's listening by live stream and they need you, I'm speaking to you now. Just call on his name. Just tell him, Lord, I believe you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. If you cry out to him like that, the Bible says you'll be saved. Get a hold of us, we'll get you hooked up in a Bible-teaching church. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before we dismiss, if there's anybody that would like hands laid on them, the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they will recover. If you just come forward, we'll lay hands on you and believe the power of God's going in you. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Hi, Michaela. Is this for your ears? Okay, we're going to believe that when I lay hands on you, okay, the power of God's going to go in you. And I'm going to say, Lord, heal her in the name of Jesus. And he's going on the power of the new. And then from this point on, you just say, thank you, Lord. My ears are whole, okay? Say, thank you, Father. I'm completely healed in Jesus' name. Father, just thank you so much for her and her life and the plan that you have for her. We don't accept these evil reports, Father. If it's not a report from the Word, we don't accept it. And for Father, I thank you. You said lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So, Father, I thank you that the power of God's going into her. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we say complete restoration in Jesus' name. Amen. And you just keep thanking him for that. Father, we rejoice. We love you. We thank you. You're a healer. Father, we're not in question about that. You're a good, faithful, loving God. We're going to walk into the benefits of divine health that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.